In a world obsessed with glamorous vampires and action-packed supernatural tales, Drew Hayes delivers a refreshing antidote with his novel about Fred, the vampire accountant. Unlike the brooding, charismatic undead of popular culture, Fred remains painfully ordinary even after death, proving that becoming a creature of the night doesn't automatically make one interesting. The book has developed a devoted cult following among readers tired of supernatural stereotypes, with fantasy author Jim Butcher calling it a delightful blend of humor and heart. Since its 2014 publication, this unconventional vampire tale has inspired countless readers to embrace their own awkward undead status in life. As Hayes himself puts it in the dedication, this is a book for those who embrace their oddball nature, the uncool, uncoordinated, and unexceptional who find strength in being authentically themselves. Fred's journey into vampirism begins not with traumatic flair, but with crushing disappointment. After being turned and abandoned by his sire, Frederick Frankfurt Fletcher discovers that becoming undead doesn't magically transform him into the suave, confident creature portrayed in movies. Instead, he remains the same socially awkward accountant he's always been, just paler, stronger, and with a new dietary requirement. His first night as a vampire is spent not prowling the streets, but frantically Googling vampire symptoms and creating spreadsheets to track his new biological changes. Unlike traditional vampires who hunt their prey with seductive charm, Fred arranges to purchase blood from a hospital director whose financial books he manages. He meticulously organizes his feeding schedule using Microsoft Excel and sets up automatic bank transfers for his blood purchases. His attempts at traditional hunting proved disastrous, culminating in an embarrassing fall into a diaper-filled dumpster behind a daycare center and a mortifying encounter with a would-be victim who mistakes him for a door-to-door salesman. His transition to vampire life is surprisingly practical, working from home at night, adapting his refrigerator for blood storage with carefully labeled containers, and discovering he can still enjoy cheese despite vampire mythology suggesting otherwise. He even maintains his subscription to Accountant Weekly and continues attending online CPE courses, just during nighttime hours. What weighs on Fred most isn't the physical transformation, but the emotional letdown. He had secretly hoped that becoming a vampire would finally make his life exciting and adventurous, perhaps even help him overcome his fear of public speaking. Instead, his undead existence remains just as gray and dull as before, filled with tax returns and Netflix binges. This disappointment drives him to take small risks, beginning with attending his 10-year high school reunion in his hometown of Kent, Idaho, an event that requires careful planning around blood storage and sun exposure. Fred's vampire abilities are modest compared to fictional counterparts. He doesn't transform into bats or mist. His fangs only extend when feeding or excited, particularly during tax season. And while sunlight is dangerous, he doesn't immediately burst into flames upon exposure, though he does develop an impressive sunburn within minutes. He can move during daylight hours, provided he's properly covered, and doesn't require a coffin, though he still enjoys sleep in his queen-size bed with memory foam mattress. These realistic limitations make Fred's supernatural existence feel grounded and believable, highlighting Hayes' skill at subverting vampire tropes while creating a character whose ordinariness becomes his most endearing quality. His greatest supernatural achievement to date remains using his enhanced strength to carry all his tax files up 3 flights of stairs in a single trip. Fred's decision to attend his high school reunion sets in motion his first real adventure as a vampire. Arriving at the hotel an hour before sunrise, he meticulously seals his room with tinfoil to block all sunlight, a practical solution that perfectly captures his methodical, accountant-like approach to vampirism. For his Halloween costume, he ironically chooses to dress as a doctor rather than a vampire, reasoning that Halloween costumes should be something you're not. At the reunion, Fred observes his former classmates with his enhanced vampire senses, noting Joyce Traynor's plastic surgery and how his former bully Brent Coulter has softened but still maintains enough of his football physique to attract women. When a sexy woman in a devil costume approaches him, Fred boldly calls out what he perceives as cruel humor, only to discover she's Crystal, his only female almost friend from high school who has transformed through LASIK and exercise. The reunion takes a sinister turn when the power goes out and the building is locked down. Fred witnesses a woman being dragged away by a hulking creature and discovers Crystal bound and gagged in the commentator's box. After freeing her, she reveals she works for a secret agency hunting parahumans, monsters like werewolves, vampires, and other supernatural creatures. From his hiding spot, Fred discovers three massive werewolves patrolling the parking lot, subduing anyone who tries to escape. Despite his attempt at a daring escape across car rooftops, a werewolf ambushes him, sending him crashing into a motorcycle. When he awakens in the gym, he learns that Brent Coulter, his old bully, is the werewolf leader, planning to sacrifice everyone to their goddess. In a moment of unexpected courage, Fred breaks free, creates chaos with a fire extinguisher, and helps some classmates escape before Crystal arrives with guns blazing. Afterward, she reveals she knew he was a vampire all along, citing his impossible entrance to rescue her, his athletic feats on the cars, and his ability to bite through the fire extinguisher. Despite his boring reputation, she asks him out. Perhaps his risk-taking hadn't ended so badly after all. This adventure establishes the pattern for Fred's subsequent experiences. His ordinary vampire existence repeatedly intersects with extraordinary supernatural situations, forcing him to develop courage and adaptability he never knew he possessed. Fred's accounting business unexpectedly thrives after his transformation, leaving him working around the clock during tax season. His non-confrontational nature means he can't bring himself to turn down clients, resulting in three sleepless days and nights of work. Even as a vampire, he remains essentially the same person, just paler and stronger. His mundane routine is interrupted when Crystal arrives at his secure apartment, somehow knowing his carefully guarded address. Fresh from hunting ghouls in Greece, she reveals that her mysterious agency is fine with her dating a vampire. Apparently, there are equal rights laws for undead Americans. She drags Fred to a black banshee role-playing game where teenagers and adults in elaborate monster costumes gather for a LARP session. To Fred's dismay, Crystal has pre-registered him as Count Frederick, a vampire, while introducing herself as Sunny the Succubus. Fred feels out of place among the costumed role players, especially when compared to his ordinary sweater vest and button-down shirt. However, what begins as a seemingly harmless game takes a sinister turn when Fred realizes the game master Neil isn't just role playing. He's discovered real necromancy and gone power mad. Neil's assistant Albert reluctantly reveals to Fred that he's actually a zombie, raised by Neil after an embarrassingly accidental death. Neil had found a magical book through his medium grandmother and now plans to steal the life forces of the LARP participants in a ritual. Just as Neil begins his incantation, Fred snaps his chains and lunges forward, but Crystal moves faster, tasering Neil and arresting him for unlicensed magic use. When Albert worries about his fate as a zombie, Fred steps in and offers him employment at his accounting firm to save him from termination, as zombies require work visas to legally exist. This unexpected addition to Fred's workplace creates a new dynamic. Albert becomes the perfect assistant, requiring no food, sleep, or breaks, and possessing endless patience for tedious tasks. Fred's expanding supernatural circle transforms his once solitary existence into something more fulfilling. His accounting practice becomes a safe haven for outcasts like Albert, demonstrating that Fred's greatest strength isn't his vampire abilities, but his compassion and willingness to accept others regardless of their supernatural status. Fred's world expands further when Crystal takes him and Albert on a road trip to Las Vegas for Thanksgiving. traveling in her imposing black pickup truck with specially enchanted glass that allows Fred to travel safely in daylight, Crystal reveals they're heading to help an old client named Bubba who's in trouble with Dracolings, humans with dragon blood who own all the Vegas casinos. These Dracolings combine dragon-like intelligence and magical abilities with an irresistible compulsion to gamble. Bubba's gambling addiction has landed him in debt to these creatures, who can legally enslave their debtors. Crystal explains that Dracolings have maintained special legal status for centuries, having negotiated treaties with the government in exchange for military assistance during historical conflicts, including the Revolutionary War. Upon arriving at the Excalibur Hotel, they meet with three elegantly dressed Dracolings and Bubba, a large, casually dressed man. Lord Ackers, or Morgan, as they agree to use informal address, reveals that Bubba owes nearly $500,000, well past the threshold where they can legally claim him as property. When Bubba explains he simply wanted to thank Crystal in person for all her help and say goodbye before surrendering himself, Crystal suddenly invokes the right to challenge for the debt of Bubba Emerson, causing immediate chaos. After losing a chess match to Morgan, Crystal becomes his belonging. Fred impulsively challenges for both Crystal and Bubba's freedom. When Fred mentions he's an accountant, Morgan becomes interested. Parahumans who can handle finances are apparently rare. Morgan accepts the wager, but reveals Fred must face their champion in a joust. Bubba reveals he's a weresteed, someone who transforms into a horse, but to everyone's dismay, he's technically a pony, too small for proper jousting. Despite this disadvantage, they decide it's their only chance to save Crystal. During the final pass, Fred abandons traditional jousting technique and stands on Bubba's back like a surfboard, swinging his lance like a baseball bat to knock his opponent clean off his horse. Morgan furiously protests that Fred's victory doesn't count, but Crystal quotes the rules. Should a rider be knocked to the ground in any way, he has lost the match. With Morgan's magic no longer binding her, Crystal celebrates their freedom with a kiss on Fred's cheek before kneeing Morgan in the groin as final revenge. This adventure reveals more about the complex, supernatural world Fred now inhabits, one with ancient treaties, magical contracts, and creatures whose existence challenge everything he once believed about reality. It also demonstrates Fred's growing willingness to take risks and think creatively when faced with seemingly impossible odds. Fred's expanding social circle now includes regular Scrabble nights with Bubba and Albert, highlighting their contrasting personalities. Fred strategically plays periodontist for 36 points, while Bubba casually responds with beer for just 7 points. Their different tastes, Fred sipping expensive Pinot Noir, Bubba drinking cheap beer, and Albert gulping soda, reflect their unique characters. Their game is interrupted when Neil arrives desperate for help. His mentor, Amy, has disappeared and her home is wrecked. Despite Fred's reluctance, they agree to help when Bubba suggests contacting Richard Alderson, the weremayor who handles bureaucratic matters for shapeshifters while maintaining national secrecy. In Richard's private room, they meet his young daughter Sally, who adores Miss Amy, and a strange boy named Gideon with an ancient voice who claims to teach Amy rather than be her student. When Gideon approaches Fred with purple eyes, Fred has a chilling realization. While vampires see others as prey, there are also predators in the world more dangerous than himself. Gideon is actually a dragon who can shapeshift into almost anything, though he prefers his child form. At Amy's substantial house, her laboratory shows signs of struggle, including fresh blood. Following her scent to a park, Fred is suddenly grabbed by a vine and hoisted toward a massive monster with rows of sharp teeth. Richard, transformed into an enormous lion, attacks the creature, saving Fred. Neil explains it's an augmented construct, a mindless magical servant created from nearby materials, likely left as a trap by Amy's mage abductor. As they continue searching, they encounter strange mushroom-like creatures about 3 feet tall with pale yellow bodies that grow 9 feet tall when threatened and spew corrosive acid. After fleeing from these dangerous creatures, Fred discovers Amy Wells sitting in a forest clearing, her eyes swirling with rainbow colors as she conducts a bizarre symphony of wildlife around her. The truth emerges. Amy hadn't been kidnapped at all. She was just extremely high on her own experimental alchemical drug. As a talented mage and alchemist, she'd been developing a drug for a powerful client, later revealed to be Gideon, the Dragon King of the West, and tested it on herself. The dose, calibrated for someone stronger, caused her to lose touch with reality and wander into the park, unconsciously conjuring the moss monster, mushmen, and musical forest creatures. This adventure introduces Fred to the world of magic and its unpredictable consequences, expanding his understanding of the supernatural community beyond vampires and shapeshifters. It also adds Amy to his growing circle of friends, further enriching his once solitary existence. Christmas preparations in Fred's apartment are interrupted when two vampires break through his 12th floor window. One muscular, tattooed vampire named Beauregard stands beside a well-dressed one named Quinn Thames, who's dangling Crystal by her neck. Quinn introduces himself as Fred's sire, expressing bitter disappointment that Fred hasn't become the bloodthirsty monster he expected when he abandoned him after turning him. After Quinn leaves with Crystal, demanding Fred meet him at midnight at a church to prove his vampire potential, Fred's friends arrive for Christmas festivities, only to find him drinking blood straight from the packet. They reveal shocking information. Vampires can absorb powers from other supernatural creatures by drinking their blood. That's why Beauregard was so unnaturally strong. He'd been feeding on Therians, were-creatures. Neil proposes making Fred appear to be the monster Quinn wants by using a spell from his necromancy book. At the abandoned church where Crystal is being held captive, Fred emerges with glowing red eyes and blood-stained clothes, appearing transformed into a feral creature. Though Beauregard eventually pins Fred to the ground, Fred suddenly shouts, "Now!" Neil emerges from hiding and casts a freezing spell that immobilizes all the undead in the room except Fred. Fred breaks Crystal's chains, revealing the whole monster act was a ruse. His eyes were magically altered by Amy, and he wasn't under the influence of the dangerous Mortis Invictus spell that Quinn expected. As Fred proudly explains these details, Crystal grows frustrated, asking why they bothered with the rescue when she had clearly mouthed, "Don't come," when she was being taken. Quinn suddenly breaks free and tears out Crystal's throat, revealing Neil's spell couldn't hold him. When all seems lost, Crystal transforms, her hands becoming claws, her hair turning blood red with burning tips, and her eyes blazing with fire. In a terrifying dual voice, she rips off Quinn's arm, which turns to ash in her grip. Crystal explains to Fred that she died in a car accident and something bubbled up inside her. She reveals she's hosting a devil, a being far more dangerous than demons that occasionally breaks into their plane. Her ancestor was part of a ritual binding a devil to their bloodline. The spell passes from mother to daughter at puberty. When she dies, the devil emerges to revive her, as Fred witnessed. Despite Crystal suggesting they should break up for Fred's safety, he refuses, saying his undead life is far better with her in it despite the dangers. Their tender moment ends with Crystal laughing at his uniqueness before they kiss, Fred acknowledging he has plenty of time to become the suave hero he aspires to be. Throughout his supernatural adventures, Fred gradually comes to terms with his vampire nature while maintaining his core identity as an unassuming accountant. His journey represents not a dramatic transformation into something else, but rather a nuanced acceptance of who he has always been, with a few unexpected supernatural additions. This process unfolds gradually across multiple misadventures, from his first awkward attempts at blood drinking to his eventual mastery of vampire abilities without losing his fundamental Fredness. Fred's initial disappointment that becoming a vampire didn't automatically make him cool or interesting mirrors common human insecurities about transformation and change. his midnight trips to the blood bank, methodical organization of his feeding schedule, and careful maintenance of his accounting practice all demonstrate how he integrates his new reality into his existing personality, rather than abandoning it. This disappointment gradually gives way to the profound realization that his ordinary qualities are actually extraordinary strengths. His methodical approach to problems, attention to detail, and unwavering compassion for others prove more valuable than traditional vampire abilities in the complex situations he faces, whether negotiating supernatural politics or managing his undead accounting practice. As his social circle expands beyond his initial isolation, Fred finds himself surrounded by an increasingly diverse group of supernatural beings. Crystal, who hosts a devil but maintains her cheerful disposition, becomes both a friend and occasional voice of chaos in his ordered world. Albert, a zombie with a passion for philosophy, challenges Fred's assumptions about undeath. Bubba, a weresteed with a heart of gold, provides loyal friendship and occasional transportation. Amy, a practical mage who approaches magic like an engineering problem, mirrors Fred's analytical nature. Even powerful figures like Richard, the weremayor struggling with municipal politics, and Gideon, a dragon king dealing with modern bureaucracy, become part of Fred's expanding world. These connections transform his undead existence from a lonely afterlife into a rich tapestry of meaningful relationships. Fred's greatest personal growth emerges not from becoming more stereotypically vampire-like, but from finding the courage to take calculated risks and stand up for those he cares about. Whether challenging Dracolings to a carefully planned joust with spreadsheets to analyze his chances, facing down his evil sire with a meticulously prepared strategy, or simply opening his home to supernatural misfits for a precisely organized Christmas celebration, Fred demonstrates that heroism doesn't require supernatural charisma or fighting prowess. Sometimes it's simply about showing up prepared and doing what's right, even when terrified. By the end of these adventures, Fred has come to fully embrace his unique position in the supernatural world. His transformation from reluctant vampire to confident community member never requires him to abandon his fundamental nature. He may never be the smooth, seductive vampire of legend, but he's found something more valuable: authentic connections with others who accept him exactly as he is, spreadsheets, social awkwardness, and all. In doing so, he powerfully embodies the book's dedication to those who embrace their oddball nature, proving that being unexceptional, paradoxically, make one extraordinary in the most meaningful ways. One of the most fascinating aspects of Fred's world is the complex supernatural society operating beneath the surface of human awareness. Rather than existing in complete secrecy, supernatural beings, or parahumans, have negotiated treaties with human governments, established legal rights, and created bureaucratic systems to maintain order. Dracolings maintain special legal status due to historical treaties, allowing them to legally claim gamblers who can't pay their debts. Zombies require work visas to legally exist. The agency Crystal works for monitors and regulates supernatural activity. Shapeshifters have their own regional leader, the Weremayor, who handles their bureaucratic matters while maintaining national secrecy. This supernatural society has its own history intertwined with human events. During the Revolutionary War, vampires eliminated entire British platoons to save American lives, helping America win independence. These historical connections give depth to the world Hayes has created, suggesting a rich backstory where supernatural beings have influenced human history from the shadows. The relationships between different supernatural species add another layer of complexity. Vampires can absorb powers from other supernatural creatures by drinking their blood, making them potential threats to other parahumans. Dragons like Gideon exist at the top of the supernatural hierarchy, powerful enough to make even vampires feel like prey. Devils, like the one bound to Crystal's bloodline, are nearly impossible to kill and exist on a different plane of existence. Through Fred's eyes, we discover this world gradually, learning its rules and hierarchies alongside him. His position as an accountant gives him a unique perspective. He's concerned with the practical, financial, and legal aspects of supernatural existence rather than the dramatic conflicts and power struggles. This grounded viewpoint makes the fantastic elements feel more believable and integrated into everyday reality. By the end of these adventures, Fred has carved out his own niche in this supernatural society, not as a powerful player, but as someone who provides valuable services and builds bridges between different communities. His accounting practice becomes a safe haven for supernatural beings who, like him, just want to live their lives without drama or conflict. In doing so, he demonstrates that even in a world of monsters and magic, there's room for the ordinary, the unexceptional, and the utterly uninteresting, who often turn out to be the most interesting of all.